We all have a sense of the terrible things that can result from machloikas. We've all probably in some form come across situations where there was machloikas between individual people, between the communities. It's a sad, sad story. And that after all these sorrows which we had in Baloischo and Shlach Lecho, now we have Koirach, it's just very, very hard to live with all this. But one thing, it occurred to me this year to wonder, what's this idea which Moshe Rabbeinu was mechadesh, that the correct thing to happen to Koirach and Dothan and Aviram, who were these Bale Machloikas, that im Kemois kol ha'odom yemusun eile, fekudas kol ha'odom yipoked alehem, lo yashem shlochanim. If they're going to die a regular death, a normal death, that will show that Hashem did not send me. The embryo yivro Hashem, ufotzesohu adomo espio, uvolo'o osom veskola shelohem, v'yodu chayim sheola. Then, v'yedatem kini atzuhu anoshem ho'eile es Hashem. In other words, there were two things which shouldn't happen. They shouldn't die, and they shouldn't die a natural death. What was the simon that they were unjustified in their attacks on Moshe Rabbeinu? That's in Brio Yivro Hashem Ufotiso Adomo Espio Uvolo Osom Veskola Shahem Lahem Vyodu Chayem Shaola. That you have this unbelievable creation that the earth opens its mouth, swallows them, and then shuts its mouth. Mamash, an act of swallowing. But the stress over here seems to be that they don't die. They go chayim sha'olam. That's what it says later. Vatiftach ha'oretz espio, vativla oysam vesboteim, veskolo odam asher lekoirach, veskolo rechush, vayerdu heim v'chol ashalohem chayim sha'olam. Vatchas aleim ha'oretz. Like they didn't die. They didn't die. They didn't die a natural death. They didn't die, period. And they went chayim sha'olam. That seems to have been the test. Now, what exactly lies in that? What lies in this horrible fate of being swallowed alive by the earth and continuing to be alive wherever they went, to the Sha'ol, who knows, in Gehinnom? Apparently they did not die. They continued their life, and they continued their life away from the earth, that the earth rejected them. The physical world in which we live simply rejected them. It opened up its mouth and swallowed them, and they did not die. See, if that would have been a kind of dying, so it's a very terrible kind of dying, so maybe it's a terrible punishment because machloikas is a very big chet. Oh, but the what is that they didn't die. And that's a very, very much a part of Moshe Rabbeinu's raya, that their tainus against him were not justified, is because they went chayim sha'ola. They didn't die. It's a rejection of the physical world, that the physical world says, look, I'm not going to kill you, because your time hasn't come yet to die. You can go on living. There's no chiyuv misa for machloikas, but you know what there is? There's a rejection of this physical world. We're not going to have you over here. We'll have to send you straight down to Gehinnom or wherever it was that they went, not because your time has come to die, but because your life is so filthy, is so disgusting, is so horrible that you cannot remain here. And therefore we will take the steps that are necessary to get you out of here, not by dying, but by transferring your life away from me. That's an unbelievable thing. And we have to try and work out, like, why is it? Why is the earth so upset that there should be these Bale Machloikas walking around here on the earth? So I have a thought about it. I guess it's connected with the fact that I'm learning Bereshit just now, and I'm oisik a little bit in the Chumash and the Sheshes Yimei Bereshit, and been oimed on certain Yesoidas which seem to have a shaychus, which seem to tell us something about the evils of Machloikus. We have on the second day, on the Monday of creation, so we have the Vayom Elokim, Yehi Rokia B'Soicha Moyim, Vihi Mavdil Ben Mayim Lomoyim. So Rokia came into being, except that Rashi learns that the Rokia did not come into being. It already existed from yesterday, because later on the Pasuk says that they called the Rokia Shomayim, and the Shomayim was obviously there already on the first day. So the Rokia had been there, but it was a soft Rokia. It allowed access between the Rokia and whatever the Elyonim are. And now on the second day, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want that Rokia to harden such that the physical earth that is going to be below it has no access to the Elyonim, except, I think we talked about that in the past, by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Mayim goes up on the Mizbeach, the Mayim HaTachtoinim. Aber Azeidos, the second day established that our world is going to be a physical world, an absolutely physical world, with no natural access to the Elyonim. We have to live our lives down here as created human beings, physical human beings. That is the way that we're going to have to live. And that's what happened on the second day. Steht aber in Chazal, you know, Rashi asks the question, why doesn't it say Ki Toiv on the second day? So Rashi says a teretz. There are three terutzim in the Medrash. Rashi picks one of them, and the one which he picks is that the Melechas HaMayim wasn't finished yet, because on the third day, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Yikovu HaMayim El Mokoyim Echad. The water had still covered the entire globe, and on the third day, it was ordered into the sea basins, so that there should be dry land also. The continents had to appear. And subsequently, the second half of the third day, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the vegetation, Tashrei Oretz Deshe, Esav Mazria Zera. So since the Avodas Hamayim, the Melechas Hamayim, was not yet finished, they hadn't yet been sent into the seabeds, so there wasn't a Kitoiv yet on the second day, because the Melechas Hamayim was not yet finished, and therefore there's no Kitoiv. The Medrash has two other terutzim, which Rashi does not bring. That's the second Shaila, which is interesting. How did Rashi pick the Midrashim which he brings? Why did he pick that one and not that one? My feeling is that maybe the reason why he picked this one is because there's a mocker in the Torah for it, because on the next day it says Kitoiv. Tuesday is the Yom Shehuchfal by Kitoiv. After the water was sent into the sea basins, it says Kitoiv. So you see that Kitoiv is going also on Monday's creation. So that's why he picked that Chazal, that it doesn't say Kitoiv on the second day, because the Melechas HaMayim was not yet finished. It would only be finished once the water had been sent into the sea basins, allowing the continents to appear. But there are two other terutzim in the Medrash, and one is that on the second day also Machloikus came into the world, and also Gehinnom came into the world. And that's why it doesn't say Kitoiv, because Machloikus is not a good thing and Gehinnom is not a good thing. So therefore it doesn't say Kitoiv. Rashi didn't choose those particular terutzim of the Medrash. But ask ourselves, why is it that on the second day Gehinnom and Machloikus came about? And secondly, if they did, why doesn't the Torah mention it? It's interesting that the Chazal tell us with absolute firmness that in fact Machloikus and Gehinnom came about on the second day, but it doesn't say it in the Pasuk. So if it's taka a part of the Briya of the second day, so why doesn't it mention it? So probably the answer is there must be a lot of tiefkeiten in these things which are beyond us, are beyond, certainly beyond me, who we don't know the Sisrei Torah, and of course the Maaseh Bereishis Bichlal is something which we have very, very little shaychus to in understanding. But on a very simple level, I would say that it's poshut, that in a physical world where we have these needs, we hunger, we crave independence, we want wealth, we want food, we want all kinds of things. So that's the stuff of which Machloikus is made. That's what causes Machloikus. So I think that is The Torah doesn't mention it because the Torah wants us to have the seichel to understand it. That once the Yehiro Kiya Besoichamoyim, Yishazeko Rokia, Rashi says, once it was hardened to the extent that the Olam HaTachton was separate and had to do its best in a physical context, so then Mimele is going to be Machloikas in the world. And Mimele there are going to be failures which will end up in Gehinna. So it seems to be a natural outcome. About Kol Ponim, that's what happened on the second day, that the Ribbono Shel Olam made a chiluk between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim, and that chiluk became a firm one. There was going to be no access. That means that life by the Tachtonim had to find its etzos. It had to do the best it could in a physical context. And Mimela, that gives rise to Machloikas, that gives rise to the kind of failures which will end up in Gehinnom for some people. And that's all fairly understandable. How much of the surface that has scratched, of course, I don't know. But now we come to the third day. And what does it say there? So there we have Yikovu Hamayim Mitachas HaShomayim El Mokom Echad V'seiroeh HaYabosho V'yichein. We can't have the whole earth covered with the water, and therefore the water has to find its way into the seabeds, which are of course depressions in the earth, and that's where they will stay. And Mimele, the continents will be out in the open, and then what happened on the second half of the third day, namely the Tatshe Horetz Deshe Esav Masriya Zera, will be able to get to work, because then the dry land will have been supplied. Now there's a very interesting grammatical phenomena over here, and it's very important that we understand that. And that is that Yikovu Hamayim is in the Nifal. That means it's in the passive form. Not that Hashem said to the water, go to the seabeds. Don't stay where you are now covering the globe. No, go to the seabeds. Just like it says, Tatshe Oretz Nefesh Chayu. Or later on, Tatshe Oretz Deshe Esa Mazriya Zera. Or later on by the animals on the sixth day, Tatshe Oretz Nefesh Chayu. So usually the Ribbono Shel Olam addresses, when there is a direct address, Ribbono Shel Olam uses the active form during the Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh, during the creation of the world. But over here he uses the passive. Yikovu Hamayim, let the waters be gathered into the seabed. Not water, go to the seabeds, but let the water be gathered there. V'seiroe hayabosho, so that the dry land will be able to be seen. That's interesting. Like, why should the Ribbono Shel Olam over here use the passive form? Now, I haven't seen the following anywhere, but it seems to me that it's a very, very mistabatika thing. And that is as follows, that one of the pilei habriya, one of the very, very significant aspects of the physical world in which we live, and this particular aspect seems such a nitzocha and tika taina against this whole idea of the sciences, the way they are taught today, that everything happened by chance. What you see throughout the Bria is that there's constant cooperation between disparate parts of the Bria. That different things work together. There's a klal, there's a law in nature which is called synergy. What is synergy? Synergy, sin is S-Y-N, means together, like synonymous, two things mean the same thing, and so on. Synagogues are the places where people get together, based knessas. So synergy, and that's the lotion of energy, and that is that synergy is the energy that is generated when different disparate units get together and work together. In other words, when people or objects work together, what they produce is greater than what each one of them could have produced separately. It means if they would have worked separately from one another and each one produced as much as it could, the sum total of that would be less than the amount that they can produce if they work together in cooperation with each other. It's called synergy. And that seems to be the yesod which the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to be kaveya into the nature at the very, very first chance. You see, until this point, the third day, the Ribbono Shel Olam had ki'ilu been kevyochol busy with establishing the spheres in which life would take place. There's Shomayim, there's Eretz, and the Yamim. Those are three spheres. We're not yet filling them with anything. The first thing that is organizing what happens once they're there is going to be the second half of the third day. And we'll see that in a moment. That's the vegetation. That the earth is going to be filled with vegetation and the water now going to the seabeds and allowing the continents to show independently. That is the beginning of the melacha of the vegetation. That is why it happened on the third day. Why didn't the Ribbono Shel Olam finish the Melechas HaMayim on the second day and put the water into the Yam? Tell us it's Poshut. Because the water, Mitzad water, is very happy covering the whole earth. Why not? Why does it have to go back to the sea and be Mitzamsim itself into the sea to answer that the Seiroi HaYabosh? So the Teretz is because things have to grow. People have to live on the earth. That was the Tachlis. So it belongs really, the Yikavu HaMayim, that the water should recede into the seabeds, is really a chelek of the Tachi HaOretz Desha, the second half of the third day. Now, that fact that the water recedes into the sea, is that for the Toiva Kviyochel of the water or not? Teretz is mitzad the water. It doesn't have to sit in the sea. It's much happier if it covers the whole surface of the earth. Fakir, the water mitzad its own rotzen ki'ilu, if it would have a rotzen in that sense, would be to spread as far as it could. And that is what water would do. And anybody who's ever stood at the seashore and sees the tide coming in with this enormous power, forward and forward and forward and forward and forward, and suddenly it stops. There's something that's stopping it. Not its own. Mitzad itself, it would want to cover the beach, it would cover the town, it would cover everything. So what is it that draws it back? So for that you have to know the physics of how the seas work. It has to do with the gravity of the moon. It has to do with the sand of the beach. It has to do with whatever it has to do. But it's something from the outside. Meaning that this tzivui on the third day, that the water should retire into the seabed and leave the yabosha open, that was not for the water's tzivui. That was for a general tzayrach. There's going to have to be a need for vegetation. The sea needs vegetation like a lachenkopf. He doesn't need vegetation. But the people who are going to be living here will need this vegetation. And therefore, you are called upon to subordinate yourself to that need. And once you subordinate yourself to that need, so you stick in your sea and that's where you're going to stay. And the world is going to work the way I want it to work. So, comes out that the first part of the third day, where the seawater is sent back into the sea beds so that there should be able to be dry land, that is the rule of nature, which we refer to as synergy. That means when water cooperates with the dry land to create an ambience within which things can grow, and once things can grow, people can eat them, and once people can eat them, people can live, and animals can live, and so on. So this is a cooperation between the waters and the dry land, and whatever it is that causes vegetation, which creates a synergy, which creates an ability for life to function on our planet, on our earth. Now, question. Subordination. If you were asked the water, what do you want? Do you want to subordinate yourself to the tzoyruch of the people? Water would say emphatically no. I have absolutely no rotzayn whatsoever to be subordinate to anybody. Why should I be subordinate? How do I know that? As a matter of fact, it happened. That's what the Midrashim say, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to to split the Yom Suf. So the Yom Suf said, I don't want to split. Yeah, I was created on the third day. You were only created on the sixth day. Why should I have to listen to you? What's the pshat? The pshat is that you have a human need, and that human need came about because these pesky humans came about on the sixth day. I didn't ask for them. I was created on the third day, and I have no need to change my mahalach in order to accommodate the human beings. So the water, mitzad, the water did not need to go into the seabed. But it was forced to, by the Ribbono Shel Olam saying, Yikavu Amayim. You have to, that's why it's in the passive, you are made to go there. What makes you go there? Not your nature. Your nature would, forget, rebels against going there. What makes you go there? The need of the vegetation, the need of the animals that are going to come, the needs of the people who are going to come. And therefore you are not asked, and you have to be passive. You have to be brought into the seabed because there are needs outside you that require this. That's a very, very interesting thing. Kum tach ba'ois, that this thing also causes machlokes. The sea doesn't help. It's not fun for the sea to go back into the sea. It's mitzumtzum. It's suddenly limited by whatever it is that limits the sea and doesn't allow it to spread out as its nature would want to do. So it's vidram ol machlokes. All right, the sea was mechulah b'mashe Rabbeinu. If the Ribbono Shel Olam hadn't come along and said, listen, enough is enough, you have to go, so he wouldn't have split. So we have the whole Meleches HaMayim comes out now, is a sibur for machloikas in the world. The first appearance of water, that means the first bria which had to do with water, which was the second day, Yehi Rokia b'sar HaMayim, Chazal said, "Fairs on the second day, Machlokes was created." That Machlokes, I think, was reinforced by the enforced subordination of the second day, which had to be brought into practice by the need that there should be dry land on which plants can grow. Now, doesn't it stand to reason? Doesn't it stand to reason that if there's so much Machlokes potential in the world? That means after the second day plus the first half of the third day, you have so much machlokes potential in the world, it certainly stands to reason that it would be a good idea that there should be some counter power to that, that Sholem should make its appearance. And that's really what I wanted to come to tonight. And that is that what happened on the second half of the third day, Tatshe Yoretz Deshe Eset Mazriya Zera Eitz Peri Oisem Prilim, and so on and so forth. That's very, very interesting. Rashi is very makpid. It's a long Rashi, it's a complicated Rashi. But Bekitzer, what Rashi says is like this. We have here two concepts. We have a concept of tache, or it's deshe, and you have esev mazriya zera. So what Rashi says is like this. Tache is not talking, doesn't mean grass. Tache means a greening. That means that the Rashi uses the word of a levush, of a garment. So the world is supposed to be clothed in green. The world is supposed to be clothed in vegetation. Nothing to do with the individual stalks of grass. And then the pasuk goes on, and that vegetation is going to be made up of esef mazriya zera, and that's already the individual stalks and the individual kinds of grasses and vegetables and so on and so forth. So I had a kashya. And that is this. I didn't understand. Like, why is the Ribbono Shel Olam interested in the greening of the earth? Tatshe Haaretz Deshe. I mean, all it is that you have a lot of individual grasses, and that, I guess, appears to us if you have an observer, and he stands a little bit away from a meadow, so what he sees is a green carpet. How is that green carpet made? All he has to do is to go forward a few steps and he'll see that it's individual grasses, individual different minim, different this, different that. That's what makes the meadow. So what's that got to do with creation? It's just a matter of perception. It's a perception that we perceive. Then because we stand far away so we don't see the individual stalks of grass, so we experience it as a meadow, we experience it as a one unit, and then we come closer and we see that it's ripped. So what's that going to do with creation? The Ribbono Shel Olam created the grass. How does the grass look? Well, if you stand far away enough, it'll look to you like a green carpet. But what's that going to do with creation? The Rebbe didn't create a carpet. But as I was thinking along those lines, it occurred to me that that's really throughout nature. It's not only by the grasses and by the meadows. The grass and the meadow, like I said before, it's the first thing which begins the filling of the three spheres: the earth, the sky, the seas. They all have to be still: the sky with the marigolds, the earth with all the animals and the men, and the sea with the fish. This is the first thing, the tatsha or etzdesha. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam telling us over here? I think that the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us as follows. I said that it's not limited to tatsha and esef. It's all over. Take a walk by the sea. So what are you going to do? You're going to enjoy a beautiful beach. What you see is the beach. What is it? It's billions of little grains of sand. Right to the same story. You have a totality, an aggregate of all the little grains that looks like a beach. Looks like a beach, but it's made up of little grains of sand. And so it is everywhere. It's always, everything always works like that. The sky is the same thing. We see a star-speckled sky. We don't see the individual stars. Certainly when we get a little distant from Earth, we don't see the individual stars. Our address in the sky is we're part of the Milky Way. When you, as much as you can see of the Milky Way from Earth, it looks like a block of light. It's made up of stars. The scientists have been able to count the stars to some extent. So the Shtikel Machlokes, whether it's 200 billion or 400 billion, oh well, there are stars out there. So you look from the Earth and you see a block of light. What is it? It's billions of stars. Just like the beach is billions of grain. Just like the meadow is millions of grasses. You see a person. What's coming out towards you? A friend of yours is coming down the street and you see him, hi. What's coming towards you? Millions or billions of cells. That's really what it is. But we don't experience them as cells, we experience them as a person. And so on and so on. So really throughout nature, this yesoid is present, that we experience things as a complete unit. But in reality, it's made up of millions, billions, however many there are, of tiny little units which we don't immediately experience. Now, what about those little units? Are they botel? Do they have no chashivas at all because the whole chashivas attaches to the big unit? Or no? Do they continue and do have a chashivas all of their own? No, that's the posuk we say every morning in davening. Moine mispa lekoichovim, lechulam shemas yitno. That the Ribbono Shel Olam gives shemas to each star. Of all the 200 billion stars in the Milky Way, or the 400 billion if you prefer that, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives each one a name. Each one is choshev. Each one is choshev. That's a moira de gezach. You know what that's called? That's called sholem. That means that all these 200 billion stars, those 400 billion stars, live in peace with each other. Not because they're bottled to anybody, on the contrary. They're not bottled. They're choshev. The chulam shemas yikro. Each one matters to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Each one is important to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they work together without complaining, without anything. I read that the whole Milky Way, they all circle around the center of the Milky Way, like it's one big machine that works perfectly and without any problems. And these billions and millions and however many there are, everybody's b'shalom. And I think that that is why the Ribbono Shel Olam created the very first thing from the filling group of things which he created in the world is tatsha or it's desha. We ask, what is the Ribbono Shel Olam interested in the desha? That's just an accident. No, it's not an accident. The desha is not an accident. The fact that the grasses grow so closely together that we look to, like that they look to us like a carpet, that we see them as one cohesive unit, that's what the whole world is like. Bang your foot on the bang your leg on the table, the solid table. What is a table? It's billions of atoms whizzing around and creating this solid. It's the whole world is like that. The whole world, even in conversation, you hear a speech, you hear a shiur, you don't hear the word. You hear a symphony, you don't hear the tone. Everything is huge units made up of tiny little things, and each of them have their own chashivas. How do we know by the star, by the grasses, that each of them has their own chashivas? Because it says the leminoi. See, that's why the stress over here is by the leminoi. First, kashe oras desha esem mazriya zera etz priyos epri leminoi. It doesn't say leminoi by the esem, but then it says vatolche oras desha esem mazriya zera lemineu. What does it mean, lemineu? That means that every single grass, yeah, is what? It's mazriya zera. It carries the seeds of its own propagation. That means each grass is so important, like the Ribbono Shel Olam. Just like by the stars, the Ribbono Shel Olam is lechulam shema is yikra. So by the grass also, each grass, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to each grass, listen, my little grass, yeah, don't think that you're not important to me, although there are millions of blades of grass around. But I make sure that you should have the seeds for your own propagation within you. And when you go to wherever grasses grow after they die, there'll be a little seed in the ground with your whatever the makeup is of the grass, and it's going to be a clone of you. It's going to be your thing. You are going to be propagating yourself. You individual little piece of grass are going to go and propagate yourself through the seeds which I made sure before I put you down there. I made sure that you should have those seeds. So mamish the lechulam shemas yikra, which we have in Tehillim by the stars, we have by the grass the lemineu, the masriya zera. The masriya zera lemineu, that's a beautiful thing. The grass must feel so good. Here am I, little Mr. Grass, and nobody even sees me. There's so many millions, and I'm so bottle in all of that. Nobody would miss me if I would disappear. Rabbi Shimon says, you know what? I would miss you. And you know, I would miss you, and therefore I supply you with the seeds to immortalize yourself. Every little blade of grass has that. That's the pshat, that the earth is built on sholem. That there's no kli machzik brocha like sholem. Is the pshat is that the whole earth, the whole world, is built on the yesod of sholem. That all these vast units that we experience as units, really they're made up of billions and millions, however many they are, of these smaller things. And each one of those tiny things is an individual, and as individuals, with their own perpetuity built into them, with the ability to be cloned and to create, mamish, their own image again. All that is there. I don't know whether my chemistry is right over here, but you understand already what I mean. And what makes all that possible? What makes that possible is Sholem. So the earth came to Korach and said, Taira Korach, yeah? I'm sure you did a lot of good things in your life. But you have become the symbol of Machloikas. Disappear. I cannot tolerate you in my earth. Not because you have to die, but because your life, a life of Machloikas, has no business on an earth whose whole Metzius, whose whole Mahus, is Sholem. And Mimelev, Tiftach Oretz Espia, and Batzachas, finished. Mouth is open, mouth is closed. It's not a burial, he's alive. But he was Yoyret Chayim Shoyle. That's where he is. Because the earth says, my whole mahus, every fiber of my being, Ke'ilu, is an announcement of Sholem. And if it's an announcement of Sholem, and since it's an announcement of Sholem, there's no place for you in this my world. And that's the Ma'ariv Gezach. And that is why this Desha, Tashe Oretz Desha, Esem Hazir Zera, is mamash immediately after the Melech HaSamayim. Because the Melech HaSamayim by its nature, first of all, that it was mechalek between the spiritual and the physical, created machlokes. It was perpetuated by the fact that Nebuch, the Maimar Tachtonim, were the first thing in this universe which was called upon to compromise, which was called upon to subordinate itself, and certainly that subordination would have contributed to the Metzius of Machlokes. So immediately after, nothing else happens first except the combination of Deshe, which is the greening, with the Eser, which is the individual, because the Deshe, which the Rebbeinu Shem wanted very much, not like I thought when I asked, it's just a perception and it just happens to be like that. No, it's not that it happens to be like that. That is what the whole world is. The whole world is Shalom, 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 Shalom. There's a Deshe, there's a greening, there's a carpet made up of millions of little individual grasses, each of them Choshev, each of them immortal, each of them propagating itself, working together, Shalom al Yisrael. And that is the Yisrael, and that is perhaps a Shtikel Havona in what happened to Korach.